was thinking about Ephesians 6:10. You know, there's a lot here that Paul is instructing those saints, and he's instructing us. But he wraps it up in a sense. He says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, Paul was encouraging these saints in Ephesus, just as he encourages us right now, to be strong in the Lord and to be prepared and strengthened for spiritual warfare. You know, we don't wrestle against powers and principalities of this world. Our battle is the Lord's, and it's a spiritual battle. And Paul also encouraged Timothy in that second letter that he wrote to that young soon-to-be minister. He said he was sharing a lot of his own personal experiences with Timothy. And mostly Paul emphasizes that his strength to preach the gospel to all Gentiles did not come from himself, but rather from God. Paul wrote, "The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me." See, Paul knew perfectly that God had chosen and empowered him to do which was, as he said, "that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all Gentiles might hear." There was no way he could have done that in his own strength. Paul also knew that he could not rely on his strength, but it was God's strength to preach the gospel which he had been given. Now, in the natural, talking about sports and things, human strength, you know, physical strength, it can be increased, it can be developed through exercise, proper nutrition, supplementation, and rest. And I was thinking again about these elite athletes, and I marvel. It's one thing to watch them on television, you know, but to when you get up close on the sidelines of a game and you just see how amazing what the talent that they have. Again, it just didn't happen. They trained. They worked hard. How much more the spiritual athlete who desires to win Christ as the prize? You know, there's an effort we put forth to win him. The Word of God, Paul's gospel, is our, it's kind of like your training manual, if you want to consider it that way, for spiritual exercise, spiritual nutrition, spiritual supplementation, but there's also spiritual rest. The elite athlete develops discipline and has a strong commitment and has a vision, a goal. Now, when we study the scriptures, and especially Paul's gospel, and we hear the word of God rightly divided and preached, and especially after we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we too, like athletes, we're exercising ourselves. We are. We're getting strong in the Lord. We're feeding on the nutritional and strong meat of his word. And we're supplementing our souls with the word, and we're trained by the Holy Spirit. Look at it that way, if you will, maybe in a natural sense. But you know, there's also that last element of the fourth, and that's the resting part. You know, you've heard of some people who overtrain. They just get, figure the more they train, the stronger they're going to get, but there's a point where they have to stop. They have to rest. You know, even God, when he created everything, we read in Genesis, you know, there are 6 days of creation, but on the seventh day, God rested. You know, we're here today, you know. I don't try to do any work on Sundays. I've got 6 days of the week to stay occupied, and I'll do a lot of stuff. But I like to just meditate. I just like to come to church and be with you all and take it easy that day. Monday's coming, you know. The beginning of the week, it's going to be there. But just to take time and rest in the Lord. And the other thing I was thinking about for this morning was, you know, we realize and accept that we are weak. We are weak. And I don't mean just weak physically. But we're weak mentally. We're weak spiritually. You know, and the battle that we fight, it's the Lord's battle. But as we just sang, faith is the victory. And the victory was always already run at Calvary. you know, we don't need to do anything other than rest in that. I remember when, and I've shared this with you many times, but it's worth, I think, repeating that, you know, when Lauren was injured and she was in the ICU, I mean, she was on life support. She had a traumatic brain injury, broken skull, jaw, vertebrae, ribs. I mean, and the only thing that was really keeping her alive was the Lord. And, you know, as parents, you you want to do everything you can to protect your kids. And you want to do everything you can to help them, you know, to you know, nourish them and keep them strong and well-grounded. But, you know, one of the things I realized early on was that how helpless I was, that I could do nothing. So all we could do was pray. That's all we could do. Everything was in the Lord's hands. And if you were here during that time about 10 years ago, you know, you saw that testimony. Well, then when she walks in the door, I didn't have anything to do with that. God did it all. It was his strength. It wasn't mine. You know, it's hard to be patient sometimes. You know, if you're like me, you kind of, you know, let's get things done. You know, let's get her done, get the things checked off the list. But God tells us to trust him and just to wait on him. Wait on him. Let him perform the good work. He's already started it and he's promised that he would finish it. See, it's all his working. Jesus did all of the heavy lifting, if you want to call it that. He did it all at Calvary. And there's nothing we can add to that, is there? Not one little thing. Because adding anything to it would be what? It would be an insult to God. You know, I heard this well-known, I won't mention his name, but he was a multi-billionaire. And he was quoted once as saying, Christianity is a crutch for weak-minded people. No, he's an atheist. But you know, there really is a little bit of truth in that. Christianity is what we lean on. Christ is who we lean on. Because, you know, we are weak-minded sheep in a way. But when we stop of ourselves and trust him, then we're strong. We're strong in the Lord. So there was, again, a little bit of truth in what he said. You see, Jesus Christ is the source and he's the supplier of all of our strength. And he's all we need. He's all we need. We don't need anything more. We don't need to work at things. We just rest in it and understand it and just by his grace. You know, I'm very thankful that for quite a number of years now, the Lord's been, he's got me in training camp, you know. He's been training me. He's been working on me. And I hope he never stops working on me. I hope he never stops working on you. And I also know that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's Philippians 4:13. In Psalms 28:7, the psalmist wrote, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him." The Lord is my strength and my shield. You know that word strength? It's found 70 times just in the Psalms. The number of rulership. He's already done it all. He's already done everything. And all we have to do is rest in it. Just rest in what he's done. I thank God that the only strength I have is in him. It's just in him. Because I don't possess any strength, not any real strength. But he does. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. And I trust him for everything. You know, and, you know, the trials that we go through, you know, yeah, they can be tough, sure. But I hope I've learned just to leave it at the altar. And don't go back and pick it up. You know, when you leave something at the altar, did we ever read anywhere where those who sacrificed at the altar went back, oh, better go get that? No, they just left it there. Amen. Well, just leave it with the Lord. Just leave it with the Lord. Well, God bless you this morning. I know the drive-in was a little treacherous, but by his grace, we're here. God bless you.